The word today is suffering. Welcome to The Word Today with the late pastor and Bible teacher Paul Schrader. Last week, we began examining suffering and learned that there are several causes for this all-too-common experience. Here from our archives, to continue our study, is Pastor Paul Schrader on The Word Today, Suffering.
In our last broadcast, I began to discuss with you the subject of suffering. And I'd like to continue that subject here. Maybe just very briefly, I'll review what we talked about last time. We discussed the fact that there is a spiritual suffering when we are mocked and persecuted by the world as we try to witness for Christ and make a testimony about Christ. The world will sometimes reject that flatly and persecute us because of our desire to share Christ. And God says he will bless that. Don't let that become a negative for you. Let that be a positive. God is very pleased with your effort, and he will be with you. We also began to talk about the suffering that we bring upon ourselves. And, of course, most of that is foolish and stupid, careless, reckless, you know, all the accidents, all the other things. And I even discussed, you know, how even our body condition can be affected by how we eat or our lack of discipline, our lack of physical activity, and so on. We bring a lot of harm on ourselves, and yet God will even be with us as we ask his help and his deliverance. But I want to take it a step further on this broadcast, and I want to talk about a suffering that is being referred to here, and I want you to get back to Romans, the fifth chapter. In Romans 5, the first opening five verses of that chapter are just fantastic. And in the third verse, we read, "But that's not all. We gladly suffer because we know that suffering helps us to endure. And endurance builds character, which gives us a hope that will never disappoint us. All of this happens because God has given us the Holy Spirit, who fills our hearts with his love." So you see, it's constantly talking about God being the one that delivers us. God is helping us. God sends his Holy Spirit to us, and so on. And that's why we can have peace with God. And that's why we can endure even during suffering. Now, suffering is, I don't want to just completely restate everything we've said now about suffering. I want to move on to another category of suffering, which is the suffering that we just can't understand. We just don't know why it's occurring. Now, if you are suffering, let's say an illness or a disease or an accident, and in your mind you immediately say, "I know why this is happening. God is trying to get my attention. God knows that I'm rebelling against him. I'm deserting him. I am moving away from him, and God is calling me back. By this incident, by this suffering in my life, God is calling me back to him, and God wants me to repent." Well, if that's your thinking and your feeling, then be sure God is getting your attention. There are things that do happen in our lives where God is saying, "Okay, do I have your attention now? Look at this situation. I want you to come to me. I want you to return to me. I want you to repent of your sins and get right with me again through my Son, Jesus Christ." Now, if that sort of thing is happening in your life, read carefully Romans, these first five verses of Romans 5, and you will see that God is calling you back, and God is offering you peace, and God is offering you hope. That's just fantastic, the gift of hope. We all need that, and God wants you to have that. Now, suppose that you have an illness or an accident or some suffering, and you really don't know why it's happening. You've examined your life in the eyes of God's Word, and you've said, "I am right with God. I believe in his Son, Jesus. I trust in him. I am trying to live a life the way God wants me to, and I really don't understand why I have this situation in my life." Now, I want to say to those people, there really doesn't have to be a reason other than the fact that we're living in a sinful world and we have all the effects of sin in our lives and in the lives of all the people around us. And therefore, there's a lot of trouble and there's a lot of problems and there's a lot of suffering in the world. I can remember, for instance, when a strong Christian family was trying to understand why their child was autistic. And they were debating, you know, is this God's will? And, of course, my answer to that would be, of course not. It's not God's will that a child should be autistic any more than it's God's will that someone should be murdered. We had a family in our parish many years ago that as a young son, they had a young son who was studying for the ministry to be a teacher, to be a Lutheran teacher. And he was at the University in Illinois, and he was studying, and they lived in a house that was serving as a dormitory. And he came home one night and accidentally surprised a burglar that was in his room stealing. And the burglar had a hatchet. This is really crude. I mean, that's how he broke into the room. And he buried the hatchet into the back of this student, into the back of his head, and immediately killed him. Now, such a thing is so horrible, it terrorizes the entire family. And yet, they wouldn't say, well, this has to be God's will. We know that God has a permissive side to his will. Now, the best way I can explain that maybe for your understanding is to say that let's say you as a parent have told your child to go clean up their room. And you check an hour later and their room isn't cleaned up at all. In fact, they're gone. They snuck outside and they're playing. Now, in your permissive will, you're not going to, destroy them at this point. You're disappointed. You know that they should have done better. They need to learn better. And yet, you let them get away with that, so to speak. You didn't strike them dead or anything like that. Let's say, for instance, that you said, I'm going to kill somebody, or I'm going to do this or that, and if God doesn't want me to, you better stop me right now because I'm going to. And then you go ahead and do it, and then you say, well, God must have wanted that because he didn't strike me dead. He left me do it. Well, that's the permissive will of God. There are many things in our lives, even willful sins that come into our lives that we do that are against the will of God, and yet he permits them to happen in our lives. Now, don't think, therefore, that sin is something to be reckless with. Let me tell you, sin has its own wages. It pays its own wages. And I'm not only talking about death there, but I'm also talking about the fact that most sins have a consequence. If you drink a pint of bourbon a night for several months in a row, let's say, and then you repent and you say, I'm going to stop being an alcoholic, and you could be sincere, you could be genuinely, truly repentant, and stop your drinking, but you're probably still going to have cirrhosis of the liver because of the way you abused your body. And so if you are angry and in your anger you strike out and you hit somebody and immediately you repent and say, oh, I lost my temper. Please, God, forgive me. God is merciful. God can see in your heart. And if he knows you genuinely repent, you do have forgiveness. But that person's eye is still going to swell up, and there's still going to be a bruise where you hit them. You see, there's a consequence to most sins, probably to all sin. In fact, I think you can almost figure out what some of the consequences are to certain types of sins. So don't think sin is fun and games. It's a very serious business, and God wants us to be growing in our obedience to him and maturing in our faith so that we become more and more Christ-like in our lives. Now, the suffering that comes into our lives because of these things, just living in a sinful world, being sinful ourselves, all these complications, this suffering that's being discussed here in Romans 5, it says, if we come to God with it, if we are asking God's forgiveness and asking God's help and God's blessing, don't ever make God the cause of that sin or the author of that sin. God does not cause autism, or God does not cause that robber to murder that young student and so on. God is not the author of murder. That is God's permissive will. He lets those things happen because we're here in this world, and he lets the results of those actions happen. But his holy will is never frustrated. And that's the point I want you to get from this message. God's holy will is for our salvation. And he will help us even in the middle of suffering, even the suffering that we bring on ourselves by our disobedience. He will help us in the middle of that and deliver us from it and give us the strength to endure. And his holy will for us will never be frustrated. He wants our salvation, and he is going to day by day lead us toward heaven. And someday, if we retain our faith in Christ and believe in him, if we put our lives in God's hands, when the end of our time comes here on this earth, he will bless us. He will give us the gift of eternal life. And just as Romans 5 says, that's one of his gifts too, not only the gift of freedom, not only the gift of encouragement during suffering, not only the gift of hope, but the gift of life eternal. That belongs to every one of God's children. And so, in the case of this young man that was murdered at the funeral, I preached about God's permissive will frustrated. Here in this world, this robber murdered him. Well, it happened. In one sense, God permitted it to happen because it was part of the life, and yet God was not frustrated. God's holy will was fulfilled. God wanted that young man to have eternal life, and that man did have eternal life. Jesus Christ was his Savior. So keep in mind, even when there's suffering in this world during this life, God is still there, and God will give us endurance and courage and lead us through. He will bless us, and someday his holy, perfect will be fulfilled for us. He will take us to our heavenly home, which is prepared for us, and we will have life eternal with him forever.
Thank you, Pastor Schrader, for your message today. We appreciate your helpful thoughts and biblical insight. And thank you, friends, for joining us for The Word today. We hope that you were blessed by the message. Did you know that you can find The Word Today on the web at thewordtoday.org? There you can listen to sermons and read responses from listeners from around the world. We would love to hear from you. So visit thewordtoday.org to write or send us an email. And if God moves you to send a gift to support The Word Today, you can do so by credit card at the website. Your free will offering helps this program stay on the air and allows us to add new languages and stations to proclaim God's Word around the world. There are no salaries or administrative costs at The Word Today, so all of your gift is used for spreading God's Word by radio and the web. The Word Today is heard in more than 50 languages worldwide, and as our ministry grows, we hope to add even more. One of our goals is to have The Word Today translated instantly into 20 languages and made available for streaming or download on thewordtoday.org. If you would like to give to support these efforts, please visit thewordtoday.org. That's thewordtoday.org. Each week at this time, The Word Today brings you a study on a word that applies Christian principles directly to your daily life. We hope that you will share this week's lesson with your friends and family, and that you will join us again next week for The Word Today.